to India and Ireland, round Africa and back again. We don't really need to know just where we'll go. Maybe Canada, then to Brazil, then through the Alpine foothills. All I really want to know is can we go? Oh baby, can we go? Round and around the globe.
Welcome to Take Me With You, episode 89. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Cheryl. We are two well-traveled people who want to go everywhere.
But that's not going to happen. So instead, we'll travel vicariously by inviting a guest to share their unique stories with us.
This summer, we are taking a break from having guests and just watching some TV.
Yes, we are.
Yep, we said, I don't want to talk to people. I just want to watch a show.
I don't feel like summer. That's what you said, Cheryl.
No, that's true. Yeah.
That might be something that I would say, but yeah, I don't think that's what true. You would say.
So this is our 6 week of watching a travel show, and it's been really fun.
It has been. It's been fun. And I think a lot of them, we're getting some good variety in
yes.
the shows that we're watching too, which is kind of cool because different, just like people travel differently, people's TV preferences are different as well.
Yeah, that's really true. And so it's interesting. I think there are certain shows like this week where it's interesting to think of the show from the lens of travel show, similar to some food shows we've watched, mm-hmm. thinking of them as travel shows. And there's just different approaches to travel or way to interact with being in a different space than your home.
Yeah, I think so. So you kind of alluded to it here. What's the show we're watching this week that is so different?
So we watched The Amazing Race.
The Amazing Race.
Yes.
The reality TV show competition race around the world show?
Yeah, that one.
And you had not seen it before, is that correct?
Yeah, this is my first time watching this show.
And it has been probably 15 years since I've seen it.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe 10, but it's been a while. And there are, I'm trying to remember how many seasons there are, 30 seasons? Something like that?
There's quite a few, and it's still going, right?
I think so, yeah.
The thing that it always makes me think of is that just a couple years ago, my boss's wife's friend was on it and got pretty far, apparently.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so maybe we'll try to have her on at some point or something. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be super cool to hear what it's actually like as opposed to just what the TV show shows you.
Mm-hmm. And, like, how tough of a person does it require? That's what I wonder.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, can you just give a brief synopsis of the show before we dive in?
Sure, I'd be happy to. The Amazing Race is a reality TV show competition where you have a set of teams, and they're teams of two, so they're pairs. And they all start in the same place, and they are literally racing around the world. And each day, I think, they have a certain leg that they have to do, but they're not just racing through the streets. They have to complete challenges and figure out where they have to go in these different places. And so there's different activities that they run into. There's a route information that just tells them, hey, here's where you're going to go. They have roadblocks where they have to make, do some sort of challenge before they can go to the next place to get the next clue. There are detours where they have to choose between two options. And typically, I think one of the options is potentially faster, but is more challenging. Whereas the other option is a little bit easier to accomplish, but typically has, it could potentially take a lot longer. It just depends.
Oh, okay.
And so that's what they have to try and they have to decide before they've done it, for the most part. They look at it.
Yeah, just like which sounds more.
Exactly. And then they have to go and do those things to get the next clue. And then there are U-turns, which I don't think existed when I originally watched the show. So I don't know at what point U-turns were added, but a U-turn is apparently once during the entire competition, a team can force another team to go back and have to do the second detour as well. So they would have done their first detour, got the clue, gone to the next place, and then if they get there and they see their picture, then they have to go back and do the second detour before they can come and get the actual next clue to the next location. And each team can do that to any other team they choose, but only once in the entire competition. And then it's all timed in a sense. It's not like there's a clock, but they're obviously racing. And so the first team to get to the end of that day's leg, they call that the pit stop, then sometimes there's a prize for them, and they then get to be the first team that leaves the next day. And I think I didn't, it wasn't in either of the two episodes that I watched this week, but what I'm remembering from previous episodes that I watched way back when, if a team arrive, I think they leave 12 hours later from whenever they arrive at the pit stop. So if they arrived at 8 p.m. one day, they would get to leave at 8 a.m. the next day.
Oh, okay. So they continue to be that amount behind.
I believe so. Again, neither of the episodes that I watched this time had anything that they talked about that component, but I remember something similar to that from previous episodes. And so sometimes you get prizes, and there's an advantage to being first, because you get to start first and all of those sorts of things. But they're in other countries. They have to figure things out on their own. They have to navigate places and try and get through language barriers and all of those things as they're traveling around the world. I think that's a decent synopsis. I don't know what I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah, the winning team gets $1 million. That's what I'm forgetting.
Oh yeah, and that,
They're competing for $1 million.
Yeah, like we said, it's my first time watching it. And it felt like something I had seen before, though, just because like reality racing show of some
Sure.
sort,
Sure.
it fit in some ways, it definitely just fit a format. And so that, yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
So, which episode did you watch?
I watched season 3, episode 6. So pretty early on in the show, considering they're at 30 seasons now. And I chose it because they go to Morocco. And I've been to Morocco, and we haven't talked about that very much. And so I thought that that would be kind of fun to check it out. So I'll just give a little overview of mine. So they started the episode in Fez, because that's where they had finished the last day. So they were just very briefly in Fez as they were
And where is Fez?
starting out. Fez is inland a little bit in Morocco. It's one of the
So
cities
it
in
is in
Morocco.
Morocco. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And then they had to make their way to Casablanca, which is on the coast. And that's where I've been. And I've also been to Fez. And then they had to go to Marrakesh, which I have not been to, but that's another one of the large cities in Morocco. And they did go to a location that I've been to in Casablanca. It was the only
Oh, that's
location in
exciting.
Casablanca they went to, because then they had to like quickly find a train to Marrakesh. And I was like,
Right.
oh, okay, so there it is. But they went to the mosque there, and it's like, it's very large. And I've been to that one. So that was really cool. It was also funny. This is season 3. And one of the couples, they're like, this is our oldest team ever. And I was thinking, like, you guys don't even know. I'm sure that's still not the case. but like ever in 3 seasons was funny. And it was interesting. I mean, both this episode and the one you and I watched together was in hot locations. And it was obviously there are a lot of aspects of stress in this show. And I think the heat was one of them. Like one group was having car troubles through no fault of their own. And so the show explained that they'll give them a replacement car, but they won't make up like the time that they lost. So they're just like in the heat on this highway in Morocco, like dealing with car troubles
Oh,
and
jeez.
doing running in the heat and doing all these challenges in this really hot weather. And so that just felt like, I mean, I don't mind heat. I don't mind heat a lot.
As much as
still,
I do.
Yeah.
Just for the record, I'm looking it up. So season 3 aired in 2002, in the fall
wow.
of 2002.
Yeah. Some of the clothing and everything was like, oh yeah, not as much because a lot of people were wearing like athletic clothes, which
yeah.
don't seem to change as much, but it was kind of cute. Yeah. In Morocco, they speak two languages, Arabic okay. and French. Okay. And so as people were trying to navigate the language a little bit, they were using some French phrases.
Mm.
And that was cool. My sister likes to call it Frenchibic, which I think is one of my favorite portmanteaus. and it's interesting seeing people that just one of the challenges is following a map. Just like, and I mean, this is 2002.
This is before smartphones.
Yeah, that's before smartphones. And yet even then, that's like a pretty big challenge, you know? And
yeah.
I would say today it'd probably been harder because we don't keep developing that skill necessarily.
Yep.
But even for people who were already used to probably having to follow a map when they travel or just when they're in their own city looking going to a new location, they struggled. And there were like arguments about when should we get off the freeway to get to this and all these things because people had to figure out what route they wanted to take,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. And there were some cool shots in the city. I liked that. And I think another note I wrote, I think that this show shows you a really good example of how different people handle stress while traveling, because obviously a lot of this is heightened.
Yes.
You know, they're competing yes. and they're doing these challenges that most people aren't encountering while they're traveling. However, when you travel, there is stress. You know,
yeah.
it's trying to make it to your plane, trying to communicate with a cab driver, following maps, all these elements, navigating a language barrier, figuring out something cultural. There are a lot of things that for anyone traveling together can stress them out and they can get snippy with each other. And,
yep.
you know, there's a lot of ways. So it was really interesting to watch the different teams and see how they treated each other and how they treated locals when they were feeling stressed.
Mm.
And like this oldest team ever, this couple, they were way more snippy with each other than anyone else. And so that was funny because it was like longest relationship right there. And, they were so mean to each other. It just, but you could tell it was these squabbles that they've just had for years. You know, like
yep.
I think some of the conversations they've probably had those conversations hundreds of times of like, well, if you think we should do it that way, I guess we'll just do it that way. And the other person's saying like, well, I don't know, do it your way. Like just these things where it's like,
yep.
oh gosh. And being a newlywed, it's funny. I think for me
yep.
to look at that. I think saying some people who are newly dating and seeing like, wow, they're going to see a lot of each other
yeah.
because I think you see a lot about a person when you travel with them, you know,
yeah.
and then this being a competition, you're also going to see their competitive streak and are they going to lie? Or are they going to try to be like backstabbing? Are they going to help other teams out? Are they going to keep a good attitude during
yeah.
it? And some teams, I mean, I saw on the two episodes I watched, the people who lost just had amazing attitudes about it. And they were just
yeah.
like, this was great. We had a great time and we're happy that we did this. And thank you. You know, and so I appreciated that a lot. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they had challenges in this one, like finding Casablanca and finding the mosque from Fez. And some of them started like in the middle of the night, I think. So they were like traveling at nighttime.
Yeah.
They had to make their way to a train. They did something with ATVs in the desert and then had to do some challenge out in the desert. This show kind of bored me a little bit. And so,
oh, really?
Yeah. I think just like I liked the travel aspect of it, but
yeah.
like the actual challenges, I was just like, okay. And then because they show each group trying it. So then you
yeah.
see the same challenge over and over throughout the episode and it felt like okay, I already saw that challenge, so I don't know, those challenges didn't really interest me very much, but I think it's a really clever concept for a show. I'm happy for it. but
I mean, it's had 30 seasons, so, or 31 seasons.
Yeah,
so
it's obviously
got something right.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And I can see why it's popular, but I think just for me, I was just kind of like, okay. So, And then they had to, this was an interesting challenge. They had to sell bowls of some sort of food. It looked like nuts or like clams or something with shells.
Okay.
And I think you had to sell and hit a certain number before you could move on. And that was a challenge where just one member of the team could do it. And the other one was like on a roof watching them with binoculars.
Right.
And I saw that in the other episode too, that there's some challenge that only one team member can do.
I think those are the roadblocks. I think the roadblocks, one person has to do it and the other person can't help. Whereas the detours, I think they do together.
Gotcha. And so that was interesting comparing this episode to the other one, because in this one, they couldn't hear their team member. They were so far away watching them with binoculars that like the people on the roof were just kind of cheering them on, but they couldn't hear. And they were in this very crowded area trying to sell this bowls of food and seeing like Yikes. Trying to get people to buy it and everything. And then the episode you and I watched together, they could hear and interact with their team member. Their team member just couldn't do anything. And so that was hilarious seeing again. I did like the dynamics because some people were genuinely helpful and encouraging.
Yeah.
And others were like, can you just try to do it faster? And it's like, obviously they're trying their best. Like telling someone, I hate that. Telling someone to try to do something faster when they're very aware that speed matters is not helpful. That's not at all helpful. So it was just really interesting seeing like people's awareness of those things. And then this episode ended in Marrakesh at a riyadh. And that was fun for me because a riyadh is a type of, I don't know if it's always a hotel or if it's just a type of building, or maybe it could be an apartment unit too. In Morocco, where all the buildings, the entrances are facing inward and there's a big courtyard at the middle of the building that's multiple stories high.
Oh, cool.
So it's like a hollow square, the actual building part.
Oh, it has a roof on it?
But I think it's open in the middle. So there's a roof that like matches the shape of the building.
Oh, but not over the courtyard.
Yeah, there's like a hole there.
So it's just
open
just
air.
Like
a square.
I'm doing hand motions, which works really well for a podcast.
A square around a courtyard.
It's just around a courtyard.
Mm-hmm. But it's one building and you enter the building like from somewhere and then it's all interior entrances.
Okay.
But it's just open in the middle. So it's really pretty. And I got to stay out in one in Fez that was just gorgeous. And Morocco's gorgeous. They have all this like ceramics and tile work that are so beautiful. And I think it might be that it's the cheaper material there, because that's what I was learning in Spain, was like they do this gorgeous tile because tile is local and cheap. And then it's so beautiful. It's like the gorgeous thing you can work with is the cheap one. But yeah, so it was so pretty. I went up on the roof of the riyadh that I stayed in and everything was so beautiful. And so that was fun that they were like, oh, we're going to meet up at this riyadh. And I was like, I know that word. But I've looked up riyadhs and I think they might just be a Morocco thing or maybe just an Arabic thing. But so that was really cool that they went to one.
I have to look up riyadh. Oh, those look really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, these are probably the most fancy, swanky ones because a lot of them have pools in the courtyard in the middle. But that's cool. That's
nice. They're so beautiful. Yeah, I went to Morocco with a small group of people from my church in LA. And we went to teach some summer school classes at a English academy in Casablanca. Mm. And we went to Fez for the weekend. And stayed with or met up with a couple that the leaders of my group knew. But then the leaders, they were like, yeah, we really wanted to stay in a riyadh. So we're staying at this riyadh in Fez. And it was like, this place is gorgeous. So I would recommend it if anyone goes to Morocco to look up a riyadh to stay in because they're really beautiful buildings.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that was my episode.
Well, actually, I have a question for you first about your episode.
Yes.
Yes. Do you feel like this show matches your experiences in Morocco?
No.
Really? You weren't running around trying to find your way?
There are aspects like seeing a crowded market, or a crowded street area is like, yes, I went to crowded markets. I got to see the mosque that I visited. They didn't go inside of it. It is gorgeous on the inside. But I mean, what they were trying to do in this show was just very different than my experience. And obviously they're doing these like manufactured challenges. I think I did appreciate the challenges that involved transportation, because like one team was 1 minute late for a train, so they had to wait a whole hour. And it was like, oh, that's just a travel challenge if you're late for your train, So I liked those. Yeah. So there's my
That's
feedback.
cool. That's
How
great.
about you, Ryan? Which episode did you watch?
I watched season 18, episode one,
Oh,
and
very different
very
experience than
different,
mine.
yes. And we picked, again, trying to find places that we had each been before. It's a little bit trickier with The Amazing Race because they're going from place to place. And so sometimes the episodes are in multiple countries. And so we kind
Yeah.
of had to spend some time looking. Sounds like your entire episode was in Morocco.
Yes.
My entire episode was not in Sydney, Australia, which is the reason that we had picked the one,
Okay.
this particular episode. And as a season one, it actually started everything out, which was
Episode one?
interesting. Yeah, sorry, episode one. Sorry, not season one. Yes, season 18.
So
Yes,
they're
episode one.
explaining everything, introducing characters, I'm
They were
assuming.
introducing people. That's about it. They weren't doing a lot of explanation of things.
Oh,
They
okay.
did as they went. So when they hit a roadblock, for example, then the host would come out and would say, "A roadblock is when da 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 da," like, and only one team member, whatever. So they would do that. But I think they did that in a lot of the episodes. Did you see
Yeah.
that in yours?
I saw that the host would come out
Yeah.
and explain what was going
Yeah.
on.
So I don't think that was a something unique. I think the only part that was unique was that they were introducing each of the teams, but then in other episodes, they just do a recap of the previous ones. So it's in place of the recap, they do an intro. But
Okay.
what was interesting about this particular episode is it was all returners, all people who I think, if I understood it correctly, got second place in a previous one.
That's so much more fun than picking the winners.
Yeah, but okay. I take it back. They wouldn't all get second place, but they had made it really far and didn't win. And what's
That's
extra
fun.
interesting is the other episode that you and I watched together that we'll talk about in a minute. Some of the people in that one were also in this one.
Oh, that's cool. That's what might get me more into this show, is if I got into a season, I would care about the people.
Right.
And so I could see myself sticking in or like enjoying it a lot more if I got invested in the specific people.
Yes. And it was interesting because I think the episode that you and I watched was season 12. So it was in the past, obviously. And so the one that I watched first happened after the one that I watched second.
Yeah.
So I watched them backwards. So I met the characters this time when they're back the second
Yeah.
time. And then I saw them for one part of the first time. I think there were two different couples that were in both the season for the Australia episode and the one that we watched
Gotcha.
together. So it was a very interesting take on the whole thing because they knew the thing, they'd played the game, they know the parts,
And they
and so
lost.
and they didn't win the $1 million.
So
Yeah.
there's a motivator right there.
Oh, and it was definitely a motivator. And they were already, groups were talking about how they didn't want to repeat whatever it was from last time, or how, well, this was our mistake that we made last time. And so this time we're going to try this other thing instead, or whatever. It was very interesting.
So it's
And
like in
so they
the Hunger
started.
Games when they brought back all those winners
Oh,
for that like
yes.
ultimate one. That's what it made me think
The quarter quell. Yeah, gross. The first challenge that they had, they actually started in Palm Springs
Okay.
and they were given a clue, sort of. And then there were all of these, they looked like paper airplanes, but they were big. They were, I don't know, maybe a foot and a half long. And they were on the tops of these metal poles out in this weird field. And they were given some sort of clue like what air services the Northern Territories and Queensland? And then they had to go run and find it and bring it back to the guy. And so they had to find, and they had different just words on the sides of these airplanes. And one of them was Qantas for Qantas Airlines. So they had to find it, bring it to the guy to get their first clue. And they were all flying to Australia. But the first, whatever it was, 8 people who got it were on the first flight. So there were 2 flights. Apparently they arranged this particular travel arrangement for them. And so the first 8 people who were to get it right got on the first flight, and everybody else got on the second flight.
Whoa.
That was going to land 90 minutes later.
Wow.
So they were, you know, they had something from the get-go that they had to do. But then, so that, you know, they do this whole thing, and on this flight, on that flight, people are excited. Well, everybody who was on the first flight, they had a medical emergency on their flight, and they had to make an emergency landing in Honolulu. And so everybody on the second flight actually landed before everybody on the first flight.
Wow.
So from the very beginning, everything is all upturned and crazy.
And that was one thing interesting I think I noticed in this show is that if just like travel issues happen, they're like, well, too bad. So that's really interesting. I do like that element.
Yeah. I think that is an accurate reflection of travel. Mm. And that is a part of the show that I think makes it a travel related show as opposed to just a reality show that happens in different places.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Because I think that's just like, that is part of travel is there's a lot that's just unfair and just happens.
Mm-hmm. And it just is. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Or you, like you said, you make the mistake and you're a minute late for your train and then you have to wait another hour.
Yeah.
It happens.
And then you're like, there's not really a redo. It just, it is. And you figure it out.
And adjust as best you can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Then they made it into Sydney and beautiful. You see the opera house. They take this ferry to Manly Beach and an aquarium sort of place that isn't there anymore. It's actually closed now. I looked it up because I didn't go there when I was in Sydney, but I did go to the Sydney Aquarium, which was amazing, and I loved it. So I was curious why they went to that one. But they ended up doing, you know, those underwater tubes where you can walk underwater. Like it's this like plexiglass or glass tube and you can see everything swimming around you. So they had to scuba dive in that tank that had sharks and stingrays. And they had to find this compass. It was a big old like dinner plate sized compass that they needed for the next part of the challenge. And so they had to be swimming around. It would be swimming around in this tank with sharks. Trying to find this thing. And so they're doing this. And so, this is one of those roadblocks. So only one person does it. And the other person is in the tube, right? Watching them.
That's a fun location
to
watch your teammate competing. That's kind of cool.
And so they could, you know, sort of make hand signals at each other if they needed to, but for the most part, they really can't communicate.
Yeah.
So that was very interesting. And then they come out, and then what this compass ended up being was navigation flags. You know how different flags have different symbols and you can communicate with them, like for sailing and stuff. And so they had these big, huge, long things with all these flags. It spelled out this sentence, and they had to use this thing to decode what the sentence was. Then told them the next place to go, and then there was a passphrase that they had to share with a person to get the next clue for the next place that they went. And so they go through the whole process to do all of that, which was kind of interesting. And like you said, it started to become this repetitive thing because every group does it. And so then they end up cutting back and forth between the groups that do it first, and then back to the groups that hadn't done it yet, and then forward to the next challenge that the next group has. Then you cut back and you're like, well, I'm not as interested in that.
Which also just made me think about the producers of the show, which must be very talented people.
Oh, yeah. Super difficult.
And then also they have to gather. I mean, a lot of these challenges are with locals. So they have to get locals who are going to like be there all day long and just wait for people to show up.
Yep. Yep. Which is very interesting.
Yeah.
So, and I won't go through every single challenge that they did. It was very interesting. But one of the things that we definitely saw in this one that I didn't see so much in the other one was sometimes they would work together and they would help each other, but then they wouldn't help other groups. And so they sort of formed these little alliances, and some people were just, in my opinion, lazy, and they just didn't finish the whole sentence. And so they figured out, oh, I'm supposed to go here. This is enough. And then they left and didn't have the right phrase to tell the person to get the clue. So then they had to go back.
Oh, that's funny.
But then a different group that they ran into, one pair, another pair who had already figured it out, went ahead and told them what it was. But then that group wouldn't tell the next group that came.
Oh, that's funny.
And so there were all of these weird, anyway, it was just very interesting. And it makes me think of team dynamics and group dynamics and what would I do in that sort of situation
Yeah.
and that sort
I
of thing.
liked in my episode, there were these two guys teams that kind of became friends with each other, and they kind of had an agreement of on the longer hauls or like getting to the next location, they'd kind of team up, and then when it got down to it, they'd be competitive again, which was kind of fun to see, like, okay, we're all going to get ourselves on this train or whatever, and then when we're doing the next challenge, we'll compete against each other. So that was kind of nice.
It's interesting. And then that's kind of where the episode ended. It ended with a to be continued. And on one
Okay.
sense, they're all to be continued because it's all one big story. But they didn't actually eliminate anybody or
Oh, yeah.
finish this leg
Yeah, that makes
during this
sense.
episode, which was interesting because it ended with, our last place people who could not figure out the flags to save their life. He's like, I don't know what we're missing. I don't know what to do. I was like, oh, I feel really bad for you right now. And of course, there's only one person who can do it. The other person can't help him.
Oh, that's tough.
Right? So yeah, that was the Australia episode.
Cool. So, Ryan,
So Cheryl.
did this match your experience of Australia?
Kind of.
Okay.
Obviously, the competition part didn't match my experience, but a lot of the things that they saw were things that I saw when I was in Sydney. They did a boat past the opera house, and we, of course, saw the opera house, and they went to an aquarium, and I went to an aquarium. They went to a beach, and I think I went to a beach at one point. Just so like a lot of those things, I recognized things. It looked familiar with things that I had seen. But I definitely also, as I was watching this, had the thought, because they had to take a ferry from one part of Sydney to another part of Sydney. And on that moment, they weren't really doing a whole lot. They weren't running. They were just waiting for it to get to the next place. And then I had to run around. And I was thinking, I wouldn't want to travel that way because you're in such a rush, you don't really get to experience the place. Because you're so focused on finding this thing or doing this thing that can you actually even see what's around you and experience what's around you? And there are downtimes that they typically cut out of the show because they're not interesting to watch. So I'm sure that they have a little bit more time to reflect and to process, but still, that was kind of something that I was thinking.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. On the one hand, cool that you get to go to all these places for a show. That's pretty cool. And then
Someone like
also,
you who likes to check things off a list.
yeah. But then also, yeah, it feels like not the best experience in those locations. And not getting to experience the actual culture. I guess there's cultural elements they try to tie in,
I was going to
actually.
say, when we kind of move into the next episode that you and I both watched, I got the sense that there was a little bit more
Yeah.
culture in that episode.
Actually, yeah, it was just everything became a game because obviously it's a competition. But you're right. Actually, there is experiencing culture. So that's not the right way to say it. But I guess it's not experiencing the place necessarily. Well, it depends on what your goals are and what you want out of travel. But if you want to experience what it's like for locals or what it's like to live there, that's a different element, I guess. Yeah.
The episode that we watched together was
Mm-hmm.
season 12, episode 4, where they're in Burkina Faso, which
Yes.
is a West African country.
And we chose it because we don't know about it.
Nope.
And we're trying to choose places that we haven't seen footage of before or don't really
Yep.
know anything about.
Yep. So that we can learn about more places in the world,
Mm-hmm.
which has been cool. I've enjoyed that
Yeah,
part
it's been very cool.
of this.
Yeah. So they went to a village and had to find the leader of the village, like straight off in this episode.
Well, apparently they had arrived during the previous episode and had to milk a camel or something.
Yeah.
So
that looked tough.
They missed out on that.
And then I think they had to bring their camel with them to their final location
something.
Or something, because all these people
Yeah.
had camels like on a lead. So that
Yeah.
was really funny too. And then this girl who didn't do well was like, I just couldn't milk the camel right.
Yeah.
Which, oh my gosh, if you're like on TV and failing at something, oh, that'd be rough. That'd
Oh,
be really
man.
hard.
Yeah, it definitely would.
And then their challenge with this was they had to get a chicken in a bag and then bring the chicken with them and show up at the end with the chicken in the bag.
Yep.
So that was a really funny aspect of this episode.
Yep. I think, didn't they say a bunch of times, no chicken, no check-in?
Oh, yeah. Which is fun. I liked that. And that, I guess, was very much like a local thing. Because then also they saw these goats that were all like tied up and just kind of like stuffed on a bike or things like that. And they were like, oh, no. And someone's
yeah.
saying, well, they're going to be sold at a market. So, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a do tour they had to do, and it was shake your pan or shake your booty.
Uh-huh.
That entertained me too. I think I enjoyed this episode maybe more than the other one I watched. But also, I watched season 3. So
yeah.
maybe sometimes when a show gets established, you can kind of see like
well, and even
some good ideas.
Separate from the established or not established, it was 2002.
Mm.
TV styles were different. Reality TV was still relatively new at
That's
that point.
True. Yeah. That's a really good point. And so popular around then.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
So yeah, they had to either go kind of find gold, kind of gold mining.
Yeah,
in this
panning
like
for
muddy
gold.
Pit.
There was this, yeah, mud thing, and they had to scoop it out and then sort it out, and they had to have a certain weight of gold. And once they reached that, then they were good.
And one team, it was really cute. I think it was a father son, and the dad like had done that before or something.
Yep.
So they were like, we'll just do this challenge.
Yep.
So that was kind of cute.
Well, and earlier on they had said, there was a comment that I think that the son had said in, you know, like a talking head interview sort of a thing, I think, where he was like, well, I'm choosing to choose with my father because he has so much life experience. He knows all of these things, and that's going to be a huge asset for us as we
Yeah,
compete.
That was really
so,
neat.
Yeah.
I liked that. And then the shake your booty was having to be taught a dance by it looked like a local tribe. And then you're supposed to add your own like flavor or style to it as well
right.
as doing the dance. And that was very fun. I liked that
Well, because
one.
It was judged by three, I don't know if they were elders or members of the tribe, and it was whatever they wanted. It was
yeah.
completely subjective. And it was funny because all three of them, I think there were two men and one woman, I think, and all three of them had no affect on their face. They didn't show
yeah.
any sort of emotion or anything the whole time. There
yeah.
was crowds around them, and sometimes they would cheer and clap when people would do things. But those three who were judging, nothing. They were just stone-faced, which
and
I thought was really funny.
I know. And I think someone made a joke about them being like on American Idol. So that was really cute.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
And it was interesting because sometimes when people added their own style to it, it was a negative thing. And sometimes it was a positive thing.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. And it wasn't always in unison. Like this one guy was like, I'm just going to do some more stuff. And they loved it. And he was like
yep.
spinning his stick and everything.
Oh, yep.
And
yeah,
that was really fun. And then there was this goth couple. And that was like their identity was that they were dating goths. Because it says like the relationship. With
they were one of the two couples that was on the other season that I saw.
Oh, okay.
And then the other one was the father-daughter.
Oh, I really liked them.
Yeah.
Oh, they seemed great. Mm-hmm. I liked them. And the goths, it was funny because, I mean, they had like, she had pink hair. They were wearing like matching pink outfits. Mm-hmm. They had drawn on eyebrows. So they were like really like fully in their style.
Yep.
And the girl said, I think it was the girl, she said, we look like aliens out of the sky, but they've been so warm and wonderful to us. And they said that a couple times. And then she was just really touched by seeing the poverty there. Yeah. I think that was one thing. And then also just how warmly they were received. They seemed genuinely touched by. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah, one of those moments that makes me think that, yes, I think they do have some time for reflection. And I appreciate, like you said, that the editors and the producers went ahead and put that into the episode, because it's one of those times where they were in one of the taxis driving to whatever the next location is. So they're just sitting there kind of watching. And she's just kind of talking, I think, and processing out loud. And as she starts talking about it, she gets teary and gets really emotional about it. And I, you know, that was one of the things that was kind of in the back of my mind as I was watching it as well, is, you know, they're doing these things and running around and seeing the way that these people are living that is not similar to the way that we live in the United States for the most part.
Yeah.
Right. And just the difficulty. And, you know, it's a Burkina Faso is a developing nation, or if you're familiar with this term, they're I checked, they're a level one nation. They're just on the border between level one and level two. And they've made some really good strides recently. But, you know, their existence is very, very different. And what they have access to is very, very different. And yeah, for them to have noticed that and then to appreciate that, I mean, you and I have talked about this before. That's one of the great things about travel, is seeing how other people live, seeing other people's lives and cultures, and recognizing the value that other people have and the life that other people have.
Yeah.
So,
and experiencing the kindness of strangers is really impactful.
Yeah.
And it was interesting along those lines, because this one challenge they did, just one of the two had to like load up a bike with a lot of things and then go to, it looked like a market.
Yep. It was
a find a specific person and then get some clue from them. And so it was very crowded. And I'm guessing part of it is because there are cameras there, this person with this challenge, because people are crowded around that person. And obviously, probably partially because of the cameras, but they were trying to be helpful. So like they were going around asking strangers, like, have you seen this person or things like that? And it was so interesting to see how different people treated the locals, because some of them were so appreciative, enjoyed when the kids were around them, said thank you a lot, were polite, even though they're like carrying this big bike with all this stuff on it through this crowd.
And even some of them were using, I gathered that French must be at least one of the languages that's spoken there, because they would say merci, right? Like, thank you in French. So also trying to engage, not in a huge way, but in whatever they could in their language.
Yes. And then other people, it was just, they were in go mode. It was a competition. Yep. They were pretty rude to people as they were passing them. And pretty rude as they were even trying to communicate in English to people who don't speak English, and continuing to just yell their English words at them, and just as if volume has a difference in how much someone understands what you're saying. And so the contrast was very interesting to me. And that was, I think, a really good reflection of travel as well, as we're talking about what makes this a travel show, is that even if you're late for your train or frustrated and lost or need something and you can't find it, I think it still matters how you treat people, and maybe even more, because people might help you more if you try and if you're kind to them. And also, I don't know if it matters to people there if you're in a competition show.
Probably not.
Yeah. And so I think kindness is still important in those moments. And yeah, like I said, probably even more important than when you have time to breathe and be settled and ask someone about their culture. You know, it's like, well, how are you treating people along the way as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and those were all my notes.
The end. Yeah, I mean, then they all arrived at whatever their hotel was, I think. And then one team, oh, this was the example. Then one team was eliminated. And this was the team that was already in last place. And then one of the, they were called the Blondes. So they were two, I don't know if they were sisters or just friends, but they were both blonde. And they did the U-turn to this other couple. And so they had done what they needed to do, and then they had to go back and do the second detour. And it was, I don't know if it was a boyfriend, girlfriend. I wasn't 100% clear on what their relationship was, but I know it was romantic in some way. And the guy was so incredibly flexible and I don't know about positive, but just rolling with the punches.
Hardworking.
Like, okay, all right. I guess we just got to go. We're going to do it. We're going to get it done, and we're going to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, and then for his girlfriend or partner or whatever, and she started to, you know, really get worried and stressed out. And he was just like, you know what? It's okay. If we don't win, we don't win. You know, we'll find another way to get $1 million. Or, you know, and just, and, you know, without knowing a person, you don't know how much of that is genuinely the feeling, how much of that is, I know this is the way I want to feel, so I'm going to say this to convince myself as well. Mm-hmm. But even just that desire, and then they ended up being eliminated.
Yeah.
You know, and still, even then, it was like you said, being super thankful that they had the opportunity. And, you know, as it was, I was just really impressed with the way they handled that whole thing, because it was definitely not ideal for them.
Yeah, it was really great. And I think it seemed like to the two of them a really important moment in their relationship to go through together. Yeah. I think she saw some really amazing things in him that were like, wow, this is a great guy. So that was really sweet. Yeah. So Ryan.
So Cheryl.
Based on the title of our podcast, Take Me With You.
Oh, is that the title of our podcast?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
welcome.
That's why I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's why you say it in the intro every week. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I know we want us, we just want people to take us with them, but.
Well, that, you know. I thought that's why we said it.
So based on said title, if you could take yourself to just one thing from this episode, what would it be and why?
Ooh, you know, it's funny because it's not like these questions change every week. And so these shouldn't be a surprise to me. And yet I still have to go back and think.
Yeah.
I think maybe it would actually be the early part of the episode where they're just in one of the villages, you know, and they're just kind of walking through the villages and just kind of seeing what it is. I'm not a big, let's go try all these really hard, difficult, stressful things person.
So, don't want to be on this show, to clarify.
Yeah, no. I don't. I think in some respects, I might actually be a good candidate for the show.
Yeah,
you in would. That I would generate a lot of drama for the camera. But I don't think
I was
going to
say
like
you'd
it.
Be a good candidate, because I think you would do a pretty good job at the challenges.
I think it would depend on what the challenges are. You know, like the one in the Australia one, a lot of them were water based.
Oh,
and I'm
okay,
like, no, thank you.
Not your jam. Yeah.
Not my jam. Not at all. So, I mean, I think I could do the show, but I also think I would get very frustrated very easily because I also hate things where people are backstabbing and doing alliances and, you know, all of, I've never liked those. I don't like those in sports. I have hated the game Capture the Flag because I feel like people are cheating all the time and, you know, it drives me crazy. And it's just like, those things are just not my jam. During that Sydney episode, there was a one point where I think I mentioned a couple of people who were working on the flag decoding actually sat down and decided to work together. And that resonated. Like, that's what I want to do. I want to work together with you. I don't want to work against you.
Yes.
I don't want to beat you. I want us to figure this out together. That's what I would rather do. But that's not the nature of the show. That's a very long answer that went beyond the question. So what about you? If you could just do one part.
Oh, I want to be there for that dance.
That makes
time.
Sense.
I want to learn some dance and then see if I can get that guy to nod and say that I did a good job. That sounds fun. Yeah. Did this episode make you want to go to Burkina Faso more than before watching the episode?
I would say so, partially because I didn't know anything about Burkina Faso before, and now I do. I don't think it's from the places that we saw, which is not representative of the entire country. It's not exactly a vacation tourist spot.
Hmm.
But if it were something like a service trip or something where I could go and help the people that were there, I think that could be really cool. You know,
yeah.
To be able to offer some, and I don't know what that something would be because I don't have a lot of very useful like physical skills. I'm not very strong. I'm not good at building things or with my hands. So those sorts of things are not always great things that I can do, but you never know. Sometimes there's things you can do anyway. So, but as far as, you know, I just can't wait to go there, you know, just show up. And I don't get the sense, at least from what we saw, that that's the type of place that it is. How
yeah.
about you?
I'm the same as you. Yeah. People seemed very friendly. So
yeah.
That would be great. And if there was a way I could go and help, I'd be happy to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is tricky. Well, I think I already asked you the question, actually.
I think you did.
The question normally is based on your experience of the show overall, would you want to travel with? And it's usually the host. But I think the question for this would be, would you want to be a contestant?
Yeah,
on
I
the
think
show?
That's the question. And basically, I think my answer is, big picture, no, but I wouldn't be completely opposed to it if for some reason I needed to. If that makes sense. What about
yeah.
you?
Potentially. I probably won't try. But
no.
When I think about reality shows I would enjoy, this does make the cut. Of like,
yeah,
yeah. I think my sister Lisa and I would be a good team.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
we'd have fun. And it'd be quite the experience. It'd be really cool.
I could totally see you doing it.
It'd
totally
be fun. I think when I think about what would intimidate me about me, I think it's the physical fitness.
Mm.
Not that I'm not
yeah.
like, I'm pretty average and relatively healthy and everything, but like it seems like they're like running with backpacks for some of their challenges. So I think
yeah.
like if I were to know I was going to be on the show, I'd start working out a lot more probably just to get myself ready. You know, probably
yeah.
just go to a lot of cardio. 'Cause they're like moving in this show.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it'd be fun, Lisa, if you're listening. Let's audition.
Do it. I'll support you. I'll watch you.
Oh, thanks.
Then we can make a whole part of our podcast a watch through.
There we go. And would you recommend to our listeners that they watch this show?
I would. Yeah, I think it does give a very different perspective on travel than a lot of the other travel shows that we've done, because it's not really about traveling to those places in a way that you would travel there, but it does give you a really good overview and snapshot of a lot of places throughout the season. And if you like reality TV, which some people do and some people don't, I think it's relatively well done for that type of show. And I think they have some really interesting things that they do and show. What about you?
Yes, I would definitely recommend it. Like I said, I probably won't keep watching it myself, but I think this is the same as how I was feeling last week. where when we started watching travel shows, mm-hmm. I think what I pictured was a lot of shows that are like Rick Steves.
Yeah.
With just like different hosts with different personalities or different things that they like to focus on. And it's been really fun seeing, if you like snarky British humor, there's a travel show for you. And if you like a reality competition show, here's a travel show for you. So I think for people who are kind of like us and haven't watched much travel shows, but maybe are intrigued by it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say figure out what your style is and then start watching something. And so if you like a competition reality show, how cool is it to see footage from all over the world? Yeah. I think it's really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I agree. Okay. Let us transition to Wish You Were Here. During this section, Cheryl and I will each highlight a travel attraction from the places that we've been. It's just a brief little snapshot, kind of like a little postcard that says, hey, this thing was cool. I wish you were here. Cheryl, what would you like to do for your wish you were here this week?
I've really been missing restaurants and eating out. And so I want to talk about a restaurant that I went to in New Orleans called Brennan's.
All right.
So I did share about this when I talked about my trip to New Orleans. So it's a bit of a repeat, but I really don't care.
it's your podcast.
Fair. So Brennan's is pretty fancy as far as like it's a nicer, more expensive restaurant. The inside is kind of elaborate, like really like ornate walls and design and everything. And Daryl and I went there for dessert and drinks specifically because Brennan's is the birthplace of Bananas Foster.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. And your waiter might look and sound a little bit like Severus Snape, too. At least was my experience, which I really loved a lot. And now Daryl likes to say, "Your Bananas Foster, Mrs. Webster." So that's pretty fun. But yeah, that's truly the origin of Bananas Foster. And so that's something that they specialize in. They will make it for you at your table and tell you the history of it as they are making it for you and setting it on fire in front of you, which is it's like a travel show. If you're like, Bananas Foster originated because, you know, and so the story is that there was this, now I'm not remembering as much. I'll have to go back and listen to my podcast, I guess, but there was this, woman who I believe is a woman working there, and they had to make some new dessert for some reason, and there was some man, I'm missing all the important details.
This is real great story.
But there was someone that was saying really believed that ice cream did not belong in fine dining, so her challenge was to make a fancy dessert that had ice cream in it that was fine dining, and made Bananas Foster and included ice cream. And so it's fun to go there. You have to order it for at least two people. So, and I don't like bananas. So of course I tried it because I mean, at the birthplace of Bananas Foster, I'm going to try it. And it was kind of best case scenario for me with bananas, but obviously I didn't like it. So I ordered a different dessert, and then Daryl got two Bananas Foster. So that was very fun. But my recommendation is go and sit in the lounge because the tables are further apart. You don't need a reservation. It's much more chill there. I walked through the main dining area, and it was beautiful, and it was bustling and really crowded. And so I think it was nicer and quieter, and we didn't make reservations or anything sitting in the lounge. And it was fun to just go for dessert and drinks if you don't want to spend as much either, but go to Brennan's and eat the Bananas Foster and enjoy.
And if you would like to hear the actual story back when Cheryl remembered it, that would be episode 62.
Thank you. That's so funny because I have a pretty good memory, and yet some of those details are just lost.
Well, you know, you've been inside for a long time.
Yeah, that's true. My brain is turning to mush.
Turning to bananas.
Oh, gross. But how about you, Ryan?
I'm going to do one that is relatively local here in the Seattle area, and for when this is coming out, when this episode is coming out, which actually, by the way, today, the release date is my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Oh, happy birthday!
Yeah. I don't think she's probably listening, but happy birthday to her anyway. And in just a few weeks, potentially, depending on what things open and don't open this year, is Seafair. And Seafair in Seattle does all sorts of really cool things, but one of the things that's very cool and that my mom absolutely loves are the Blue Angels, which are a set of jets. I think they're part of the Navy, if I remember correctly. And they're very fast, and they do a really, really cool air show. And they do it over Lake Washington. And there's lots of different places you can go, and it's free. You don't have to pay for it. A lot of people will go out onto Mercer Island because they'll close I-90, the floating bridge out there, and then people can actually walk out onto parts of the bridge, and they'll fly and do it just over the lake, and it's really cool. Their jets are fast, they're precision, they do really cool things. Last summer, actually, I had a friend who their family has a boat, and he invited me out, and so I actually got to be on a boat on Lake Washington and watch it, and that was amazingly cool. But it's a really cool thing to do. Again, it happens usually, I think it's the first weekend in August is when Seafair usually happens.
Yeah, I
This
think
year in
so.
2020, I don't know what that's going to look like because they may not want to have people in big groups, so they may not do it at all. Don't really know yet. But regardless, it's still something that's cool and that happens most years. And so if you have a chance to go see the Blue Angels for Seafair, that would be my recommendation in the Seattle area.
Love it. So fun. I've gotten to be on the lake one time for that as well, and oh my gosh, it's so fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. That's all we have for the episode this week. We would love it if you would follow us on social media. We are at Timmy Podcast, TMWY for Take Me With You Podcast. We are on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
You can also email us at timwepodcast@gmail.com. Send us your suggestions of shows we should be watching.
Yes,
What is
please.
your favorite style of travel show? We would love to hear. And do you have any connections with people who were on The Amazing Race who want to be a guest? We would
Yes,
love to
please.
know. Send it all.
Absolutely. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 406-763-8699, or another way to remember is 406 Pod Timwee. We would really appreciate it if you would rate and review our podcast, share about it on social media, and subscribe to make sure you do not miss any of the episodes when they post.
As always, thank you to Beth Reed Miller for the awesome artwork. You can check out more of Beth's artwork at Beth Is Something. And thank you to Erica Corbin for the use of her song Round the Globe. You can listen to Erica's music wherever music is sold or streamed.
Cheryl, next week I think we're going to take a break from our summer series, which is taking a break from our normal, if that seems normal at all, makes any sort of sense. And I think we're probably going to talk about your trip to Yosemite.
Yes, we are.
So that's super exciting. I'm excited to hear about that. And I would love for our listeners to tune in and listen to that as well. But until then, please remember to take me with
Take
you.
me with you.
Can we get a sailboat chasing down the sunset as we float round and round the globe? Salty air and balmy nights, guided only by the lights above.